have a dream. All my life I want money and power. Respect my mind or die from less y'all. I pray my dick get big as the Eiffel Tower, so I can fuck the world for 72 hours. Goddamn, I feel amazing. Damn, I'm in the matrix. My mind is living on cloud nine, and this nine is never on vacation. Start up that Maserati and vroom, vroom, I'm racing. Popping pills in the lobby, and I pray they don't find her naked. And I pray you niggas is Asian. Shooters go.
All right, folks. Welcome back to another edition of the Fourth Official Podcast. Hey, it's episode 45, and a lot has happened with Orlando City in the past 7 days since the last time we recorded. Oh, by the way, congrats on back-to-back weeks, guys.
Here's what's happened we're doing it. Since the last time we recorded for me. Within the past 4 days, two pairs of my work pants now have developed holes in them, so I'm very sad about that.
Started GoFundMe for Gavin's pants.
Yeah, please.
Gavin is pants.
I need pants, guys.
Gavin is pants.
Pants are pants, actually.
Liverpool is also pants.
Very pants. They are actually both of those pairs of pants with a lot of holes in them.
Just like Liverpool's backline.
Yes. That was the analogy.
Those are the voices of Brad Newton, Gavin Eubank. My name is Austin David. Kyle Foley, he's not here joining us this week because he's in San Antonio for PAX East. That video game convention, so he's going to bring us back some fun stuff, hopefully, right?
Like AIDS?
1,000,000%!
Like AIDS? Why would he bring back AIDS? Why would you want AIDS?
Yeah, that's...
I mean...
Are you talking about, like...
Hearing AIDS, or...
Yeah. Like, what kind of AIDS? Like
help around full-blown AIDS? The show?
Oh, like, oh!
You remember that episode of Family Guy? Where Mayor West started dating Lois's sister. Or he started dating someone who was like, I have to tell you something. I have AIDS. And then it's like, he just has like those just, like AIDS that are just, on the...
Or that South Park...
Staff members.
Or that South Park episode where Jared Fogle has AIDS.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That whole episode
no, maybe
where it's
it was
dedicated...
South Park where I watched that.
It's like the whole episode is dedicated to the joke that
that's
he has
AIDS. That's
what it
was. Yeah, that's what it was. That's
yes.
What I'm thinking of.
There you go.
Then there's something
I
wrong with
AIDS.
You. You're certainly
and
not
you're very
good.
Great. You're like, what?
Sorry, I thought Donald Trump was saying
then there's something wrong with you. You're certainly not very good.
I wouldn't know. I don't have headphones.
I know. He said Donald Trump says that you're not very good.
The lights just went off in the studio.
Oh, they're just jamming in there, man. They're just jamming. All right, so like I said, 7 days have passed, and a lot has happened in the world of Orlando City, as well as MLS and you know, world soccer. We're going to get to all of that.
As well as the world in general.
Yeah, I mean...
No politics.
Yeah, well...
The madness, yeah!
I might go out to California. Wow. They're getting ready to leave the United States. That's kind of exciting.
If there was one state that I would likely see, it would probably be California.
Yeah.
Just like pop off. Just like, nah.
They're like bye.
Florida. I would hope Florida would one day.
California's just, like what? Like the world's like eighth biggest economy or something like that?
Could be, yeah. Probably.
Like on its own.
I mean, it's got Los Angeles, Sacramento, San Diego, like it's got a lot of big metropolitan cities.
I mean, not only
cities.
That, but like it's bigger than like a lot of European countries in the fact that like its terrain is so vast and wide and it could actually stand on its own if it had to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny how we're talking about this 8 days into new presidency. No politics,
hey,
by
listen,
the way.
Just, you know, you need contingencies and sanctuary cities.
Sure. The United States
used to be a sanctuary country.
Look, everyone's already moving to California to go chase their dreams of becoming movie stars. So, like, if everyone else moves there, it's just going to be, like, shoulder to shoulder with everybody.
Well, I mean then it basically gets tougher in the fact that you're migrating to a whole new country.
I mean, yeah, but, like, I don't know. There's already a shit ton of people there.
Yeah,
you can just go live in the San Andreas Fault if you want. I'm sure there's plenty of room there.
Yeah, you're talking like the big cities. There's absolutely.
There's also small cities. Yes, yeah, I know. It's not as fun though.
I'd probably go to like Sacramento, this quiet city.
I'd probably go to like San Jose or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, Sacramento's got Sac Republic too, so you got some
soccer
to watch.
Yeah, you got soccer. You've got a nice quiet that northern California terrain.
San Jose has both MLS soccer and NHL hockey.
The earthquakes aren't great.
They wear the pants in California because they are pants.
Yeah.
All right, Orlando City. Let's talk about everything that happened, starting with the big one. Molina's gone. Who saw that one coming?
Yeah, no. That
at some point, but
at various points in this show, I said like life after Kaká and how Molino should probably figure into a big part of that. And now,
I mean, I
half
wrote
your
that,
offense is gone.
Yeah, I wrote that same thing on the mainland a couple weeks ago. Is that they shouldn't sell him because of the fact that if Kaká's not coming back, he's essentially the next face of the franchise.
Well, no, it's Chicharito now.
Soon, yeah.
You got to get him. You got to get him first, and then.
I mean, they had that contract signed, and again, his buyout clause isn't much.
I mean, Phil's going to have to run up to a podium one day and say, "Mr. Trump, tear down that wall," so he can bring
Chicharito in. Yeah.
That's gonna be quite a scene.
Yeah. Can't wait for Phil to be back in the public eye again. All right, so Molino,
we gotta bring him on the show. He's in the area.
Yeah, I know. So Molino, he's basically the entire, like, well, not the entire offense, but like
a large portion. Of it.
Yeah, like the second top goal scoring player on Orlando City, which accounted for one of the best offenses in MLS last year.
He's no longer the all-time goal leader in franchise history, is he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I thought Kyle Larin passed him.
Not yet. Nope. Not yet.
Almost.
Very soon, though.
Yeah. So he's still got that going.
I think Molino's got like 46 goals, and Laren's got like
30 something.
Yeah. Oh, he had 19 his first year.
In all competitions?
I don't know about. Yeah, probably. I don't remember Kyle Larin scoring anything in the U.S. Open Cup. Maybe one goal. But still, again, he's still...
Wasn't that his first goal?
What?
Kyle Larin has 31 goals for...
No, the first goal he scored was in a friendly.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that penalty. But
yeah, Kyle Larin has 31 goals.
Okay, so he's still got a ways to go. If he doesn't get transferred in the next year and he scores like 18 goals, mm-hmm. he might actually pass him.
He scored 27 goals in USL and 11, so he's got
38.
So who does?
Kevin Molino.
Laren's somewhere around like 30, right?
31.
31, yeah.
I swear I saw 46 somewhere.
Nope.
All right, well, I have to fact check that.
I mean, maybe in all competitions, but this is kind of appearances from Wikipedia.
Yeah, you can't trust
the most
Wikipedia.
Trustful source on the internet.
Sure. Okay. So without Molino now, you have to think, like, what do they do now? Because yes, he was a big part of your offense, but if Jason Christ is moving to the diamond formation, there's really no like wingers, and he already likes MPG as the number 10. Which would probably make Kyle Larin as like a second striker. But so then, like, even if Molino was still here.
Kyle Larin would be the second striker?
No. Kaká.
You said Kyle Larin.
You said Kyle Larin.
I said Kyle Larin, didn't I? Kaká would be the second striker. But again, where does Kevin Molino fit in that?
I mean, he fit on the wing. The question, the main question was whether or not he would commit to defense.
Which was a big question.
Yeah, it's probably a no also on that end.
But I think if you can still stick Will Johnson out there on the right side, and you can still stick Nutrino down low, there's so many pieces on this roster that are still in that midfield where Molino's loss definitely hurts them, mm-hmm. but it's not like they can't work around that. Because you still have Christian Higuita in the lineup. He can still play down low, and you can still move Will Johnson and Nutrino out to the wings, and that's a system that can still work very well. Breck Shea, it's not really a winger, but
I think the biggest facet of that is just replacing the offensive output of it. I mean, defensively, like, losing Molino is not a big deal, but offensively, yes, that's, you know, one of the key pieces of your attack, and now you kind of have to readjust that a little bit, and especially moving forward now because your roster is kind of old, and once you move Kyle Larin probably after next year.
And Kaká leaves.
And, if Kaká leaves and doesn't come back, then you're kind of in a really weird place as far as, like, what do you do moving forward?
Right. But, I mean, with Molino, he was making, what, $60,000 a year, which was less than Richie Larea, which is kind of criminal. He wanted more money. team offered him more money apparently three times.
No, he was making about 121.
121. Okay,
so double.
All right. But again, the team offered him more money. They're like, okay, here you go. And he turned it down three times.
Which by comparison, Kyle Larin was making more than that as a draft pick out of college.
Right. So again,
Lino had a proven record in USL.
Yeah. Okay. So what was I saying again? Right. They offered him three different contracts. He said no. And then he asked for trade because he was unhappy. So obviously Adrian calls and he's like, yeah, I'll take him. And tampering?
Tampering.
Yeah, you don't know like when the call occurred. You
it
know?
Could have been.
Could have been after the fact of like.
I mean, let's just.
Because the team can still agree to a deal, but then the player still has to want to go to that team.
Right.
And be so like, then, hey, we've got this deal in place if you want to come here now.
But given the players that are all involved here and prior history.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely some shadiness going on. We're not going to deny that. However, we don't know all prior, the facts so to say.
Pure speculation here, but. You know, just given that someone's previous history of tampering and the previous relationship between the coach and the player, like, you know.
Profiling, essentially, is what we're doing here.
Yeah.
He basically pulled, like, a Dom Dwyer.
Yeah, it's
except
not.
Except he never actually got Dom Dwyer.
Right.
Yeah.
See, this was, like, a makeup for that. It's like, well, you know, I couldn't get Dom, so I'll just get Kevin.
Didn't work the first time, so.
Now, I really hope that in that introductory press conference, Adrian Heath says that Minnesota was always Kevin's spiritual home and that he's always wanted to be here.
His spiritual home is next to me.
Yeah.
He's like, I am Kevin's spiritual home, and I'm glad to have him back home.
His spiritual home is his home 2 hours into practice.
Yes.
Oh, man. What happens if Dom goes to Minnesota now?
Oh, God.
Ugh.
That attacking midfield and that attacking line that they're building is already very good.
That's what we said about Orlando coming into 2015.
But this one's actually good.
That's what we said about Orlando in 2015.
No.
You can't guesstimate until you see them play, and then you can say whatever hell you want. But until you see them actually like work together, like we thought Breck Shea was going to be like a star on the wing.
Well, that's the thing. They've got Ibra and Christian Ramirez who have played together, and those two alone.
Did you say Ibra?
Yeah.
You mean Miguel Ibarra? Zlatan Ibrahimovic is not Miguel Ibarra.
But
we don't know.
My English is not that good. I beg.
Anyways, yes. Ibarra's on the left. You've got. Either you've got Venegas and Molino either on the wing and center or center and the wing, depending on how Inchi wants to do it. And then you got Christian Ramirez up front, along with Dunlarty, who's the number one draft pick.
Yeah, it's a pretty good.
Yeah, on paper it's fine, but you don't know how they're going to play together. Like Ramirez and Ibarra, best friends. You know, they have chemistry together already.
Well, I'm not saying they're going to tear up the league. I'm saying that they are a good group of players.
Yes.
Expansion teams often struggle with chemistry,
mm-hmm.
which is what killed Orlando City a lot in its first year.
Yep.
And it's going to be on Adrian Heath to be able to use this camp to try to get those players as tight-knit as possible.
I feel like he can just go in and be like, love each other now. Just like, force them together.
They have like one of those team building days.
Yeah,
somebody comes in, they all do trust falls for an hour, and everybody goes home happy.
I don't know if they can do trust falls for an hour, but yeah, something like that. Just to build, to like force build team chemistry.
Just have a lock in.
Yeah, no one leaves until you all like each other. Oh, ready, God. Go.
Those always have positive results.
Like the episode of South Park where Butters, or not Butters, what's his face, locks in the Crips and the Bloods together in the community center.
Yeah.
Get them all to like each other.
Hey, that worked out. Didn't it?
Yeah, but.
That's a TV show.
Yeah.
Based on true events.
Obviously. All right, so Molino's gone. You find a way to replace him. They got a lot of money for him, $650,000, $450,000 in TAM, and $250,000 in GAM.
You gotta figure that's probably so that they can sign someone coming in and try to sign a bigger name.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of ways you can look at this. Obviously, Orlando was kind of forced to do it I mean, the way Jason Christ has spoken since he's gotten here, he wants players committed. And if Molino's not happy in his current situation and doesn't necessarily want to be there, then it's Orlando City shouldn't force him to be there, because that's not going to help anybody in the end. And
no,
to considering that if they had to move him, what they've got, you know, a record fee for him is all.
Yeah, that's kind of the surprise there, to get that sort of a fee, especially when you know, I mean, just looking at it, they're in a position where they pretty much had to get rid of a player. And knowing that and what the value of that player is and, you know, what they got for him is pretty remarkable in that sense.
Well, I mean, Orlando City kind of played the long game with this one. Like, when the rumor dropped at the MLS draft, both Alicia and I went over to Nikki Badalic, the GM, and we asked, like, so what about this rumor? You know, is he being shopped around? And Nikki's like, no, he's an integral part of our team. We are not looking to shop him at any point and anytime soon.
Which is just media talk. Or
right.
Media
talk,
you're not, but I mean, you don't have all your ducks in a row and you don't want it out there.
Exactly. And it's to the point where they're basically forced because they had no other options. If they tried to, they gave him these offers, he didn't want it. So they really had nothing else to do.
Because you lose basically all leverage if you say, like, yeah, we're trying to get rid of him. If you just say, like, no, we're not looking to get rid of him. And then when you, because that way his value stays.
Yeah, right. And then pushes teams to push harder to get him rather than say, all right, well, obviously you don't really want him. You're trying to get rid of him. You're saying publicly, so we'll just give you whatever.
Right.
GMs do this all the time.
Sure. And then Molino obviously didn't make any public comments either, saying, like, I want out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that only sort of affects things a little bit.
Like, that doesn't make the player look good either.
Yeah. Right. No. Well, but then fans obviously start building things up and it's like, oh, we want him gone.
He's a quiet guy anyway. Yeah, so he's not the kind of player you would expect to hear that coming out.
No. He is on Snapchat and Instagram a lot, though.
Yeah, I think history-wise, I think it doesn't surprise you.
Different. It's one thing to sort of like talk about team business, and then it is your own stuff. So you can be pretty active on social media and still be, you know, pretty upstanding in that regard.
So with Molino gone, that marks the last of the USL guys in the first MLS team to play for Orlando. So end of an era officially now. You still got OCB with Anthony Pulis, Rob Valentino, and Luis Neal, and some of the front office people, but that's it.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Yes, the history of the club dating back to USL is very important. And for any club, really, to sort of, like, you know, have that sort of, you know, stick-to-itiveness as far as, like, staying true to their roots and everything like that. But when you look at, you know, that's just the forward march of time. I realize this is only heading into year three of MLS and no one's really there anymore. But when you look around at other clubs, not a lot of, you know, their original staff probably remain in place. And, you know, it was bound to happen at some point, and, you know, the fact that it's happening this close in, and the coupled with the fact that the club really hasn't had that much success yet in MLS, I think it's maybe you hit a ceiling and you realize, like, hey, we were really good in USL, but maybe we have to make some changes to be really good in MLS.
Yeah, I think to the point is when you are a club of Orlando, like Orlando City, that's trying to become, you know, like a global brand, and you want to be the best that there is, there has to be a line between working as the minor league club that is the grassroots campaign that they started with and they tried to market upon, and being that business that is willing to do whatever it takes, like any major league franchise would. And it's fans are starting to get on that, and they're starting to understand that Orlando City is now a business that is worried about the bottom line, and they're worried about winning championships at all costs. The stadium obviously has a lot of people staying happy right now, but there's also that group that know, all right, it's not about the players, it's about the club, and we see where the club is heading, and we're going to support them through that.
Hashtag brand.
Which is, like, I mean, yeah, basically.
I will say this, though. Sheffield FC, which was formed in 1857, still has some original staff members on their club, so.
Orlando has a couple, just not the prominent ones. Like, that core not there.
Did you catch that?
No. We're just going to move on from it.
Woo.
Just cool. Let that pause sit there for a minute. And
I can't. I don't have headphones. I can't hear what you guys are saying.
Moving on. Josh Saunders is now the backup goalkeeper for Orlando City.
Is he still going to get stuff thrown on him by our supporter section?
When I saw that, I thought, and I'm like, why? I get it, but like, you're basically saying Josh Saunders is the equivalent to Patrick McClain.
Like,
so no, I have a theory here, and Jason Christ signed him so that at practice, basically, Kaká can put a garbage can behind him, Kevin Molino, a garbage can and a basketball hoop over him. Kevin Molino can then dunk on him and shove him in the garbage can, just so that everything comes full circle. That's the reason why he was signed.
I was going
to
say...
Before Kevin moves to Minnesota, you mean?
Carlos Rivas can use him as a...
Well, I was thinking Kyle Larin, not Kevin Molino.
Okay.
But yeah, Kyle Larin then dunks on him again and then shoves him into the garbage can.
And then Carlos Rivas kicks a ball into his chest, which then forces him into a garbage can.
Right.
I think this is just one of Christ's finest troll moves. Like, he finally brings in his number one goalkeeper from his previous team. But it's not the guy everybody wanted.
Who did everybody want?
Raimondo.
Everybody would have wanted, Nick
Raimondo. Oh, Nick Raimondo. Yeah, of course.
He brought in the wrong former starting goalkeeper.
Yeah, and NYCFC didn't even have him on their preseason roster because they're like, yeah, we don't want you anymore. We got Sean Johnson. Like, thanks for everything, but bye.
He was never a good goalkeeper. That's it.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. It's...
The first... No, 20,
how
20,
that
20,
team
no,
made the playoffs in 2016 with that man in goal will continue to be... befuddle me for years.
2015, he was all right.
He was terrible.
2015, he was good. 2016, he was bad.
I wouldn't say good. He was all right.
Yeah. Then there's something wrong with you. You're certainly not very good.
He wasn't very good. I mean, at one point last year, Erik Johansson, who was the backup goalkeeper...
You said Aaron Johansson again.
Eric.
You're saying Aaron, though.
Did you hear me say Aaron?
You did say Aaron.
we'll run that tape back.
I have headphones now, so I can hear.
Okay. Erik Johansson ended up starting the playoff games because Josh Saunders was so bad.
I'm number one, and you're numbers two.
Numbers two. Anyways, so yeah, Josh Saunders now an Orlando City goalkeeper, which means Earl's going to probably get some time with OCB, a lot of time with OCB.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
I'm kind of surprised Minnesota didn't try to get him.
What, Josh Saunders?
Not Saunders.
Earl?
Yeah. They've got like three goalkeepers now.
Yeah. They're kind of backloaded.
I wouldn't say very good goalkeepers, but they've got a lot of goalkeepers. So, you know.
I mean, that roster's coming together.
Sure.
Still got some holes, need some fullbacks. I don't believe they have any fullbacks on the roster.
Their first two signings in MLS were fullbacks.
I dispute that claim.
Those are alternative facts.
Yeah, that's not true, period.
Okay, sure. I mean, yeah, no, Minnesota looks like they're going to be a good team. Or you know, via you look at the roster. They've got four goalkeepers, technically. They have Alec Farrell and Patrick McClain. And then they have Charlie Lyon, Marco Carducci, and Sammy Njock as trialists and preseason invitees. I think Njock was their goalkeeper in NASL, if I'm not mistaken. And then you've got Kevin Venegas and Justin Davis, who are the fullbacks that they signed. So, there you go. They got Mohamed Saeed as well, who I really liked. I thought he was pretty good in Columbus. Few other... hey! They got a trialist named LaCroix.
LaCroix's boys.
Yeah. Duke LaCroix.
Sounds...
Not to be confused with Duke LaCrosse.
No one wants to be confused with that. But no, Duke LaCroix sounds like a sparkling water magnate and some kind of...
I was going to say it sounds like an 80s porn star.
Duke LaCroix is a flavored water baron.
So Duke LaCroix,
the Duke of LaCroix.
His nickname is Duke, or his middle name is Duke. His real name is Marcus, spelled Markhus.
Marquise LaCroix.
Yes, sure. He's from New Egypt, New Jersey.
No, okay.
Played for the Indy 11 last year.
So. Marquise LaCroix. That's a pretty. That name sounds like royalty.
Duke of LaCroix.
Sure.
Duke Marquise LaCroix.
Okay. Moving on. We talked about it last week, but the Jonathan Spector signing became official, like, within the last week.
Yeah, I saw it, and I thought, you know, no one ever just comes to Orlando to just hang out ever, so there'd never be a reason for anyone to just sort of visit the city. I can't imagine that there's anything interesting to do around here, so...
Don't they say this is, like, the worst city to come visit in America? There's
yeah.
There's just nothing to do here?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of boring.
There are get, like, 12 average visitors a year.
Yeah, it's, you know.
It's terrible. So. They should build something there.
So when they kind of alluded to him just kind of being around there, you know, that you could just draw a conclusion.
Yeah. And we talked about it last week. I don't think we need to really talk about it anymore.
Yeah, no. They got a center back and everything's good.
Yeah. Okay, so preseason. That's begun. They're up in Jacksonville right now as the team. But three players are not. Well, four players because Molina got traded, but Dave Mateos, Brian Roches, and Devron Garcia did not travel to Jacksonville for unknown reasons. Anyone want to speculate wildly on why they didn't travel?
I think I'm going to put that noise on my tombstone.
How do you put that in words?
You just have a picture of Macho Man and a button that you press and it just makes that noise.
Here lies Gavin.
Saving that.
Wild speculation. Let's say maybe didn't really care all too much about showing up for practice and really giving a whole lot of effort into it.
Well, I mean, Mateos, they're trying to get rid of. Roches is apparently not fit, and Garcia is probably going to play with OCB or get transferred again.
Devron Garcia is the other guy?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't see him fitting into this picture at all. Mm-mm. Roches is probably going to be sold at some point, or they're punishing him.
See, there you go. Mateos, Roches, Garcia, gone, apparently. Yeah. Supposedly.
I don't think anybody in Orlando would shed a tear.
Yeah, nope.
At that outcome. I mean, one of the players, players that was left behind is already gone. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure they would shed a tear if Roches was transferred to another MLS team and then Orlando was forced to hold their DP slot.
What if Orlando traded Roches to NYC for Mix?
Apparently, Mix is going out of the country.
Yeah.
Nobody wants him here.
No.
Like, literally nobody wants him. That was the latest article I saw.
I kind of want him.
We're good. I think we're good.
You don't think he'd fit in that diamond?
Nope.
He could fit in that diamond. But, like, would he be good?
Probably not, but he'd fit in that diamond.
There's a reason why.
He's better than Brian Roches.
There's a reason why he was voted most overrated player in MLS.
Oh, yeah, because he makes
money.
He's also not very good.
He makes over $700,000 and played 12 games last year.
He's very pants.
Yeah. So, no thanks.
Cool. Moving on. Tim Mulqueen, hired as the new goalkeeper coach for Orlando City, has not coached in MLS since 2004. Thoughts?
It's interesting.
I don't know if coaching in MLS has anything to do with coaching goalkeepers.
Yeah.
I don't look at that statement and see it as a bad thing.
He has not been a goalkeeper coach since, I think, 2010.
He's still been working in soccer and he's also worked with some of the top goalkeepers in America.
He was an assistant AD of a high school in Bradenton.
Yeah.
Which played soccer probably.
Yeah, but he didn't have anything to do on the day-to-day basis with soccer.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, I don't. With goalkeeping, it's not as if you're constantly revolutionizing the position there. It's not exactly like there's, you know, all kinds of brand new technique or anything to learn there. So,
and Mulqueen is he coached Tim Howard in New York, who then went on to Manchester United. So obviously, Joe Bendick is the next Tim Howard now.
That's the next logical conclusion to draw. Yes, you're absolutely right there.
Absolutely.
The madness, yeah.
Which then means
hand in hand, isn't that unbelievable?
Which then means Josh Saunders is the next
Brad Guzan.
I mean, that's still bad, but I guess.
No. That makes the most sense.
Sure, why not? All right. While we're on the subject of preseason, schedule came out finally.
Finally.
There's going to be a game, new stadium, hopefully.
An official preseason friendly.
Yes. That's what it's like, the only one. It's against St. Louis FC. Gavin is just like,
wow.
I could never do that again if I tried. You guys can't see it, but I just hucked Gavin's phone clear across the studio into a mail.
If that thing broke,
he's got a case on it. It's fine.
It's farther back, Gavin.
It's in that back. It's in that back mail crate. This one? Yeah.
No, I think it's behind it.
Did it go behind it? I thought it went in it.
He literally just picked up his phone and just chucked it.
I thought it went in the mail crate.
You will be getting a letter from my lawyers.
Hey, Gavin, you want to turn off that ringer now? Or at least keep it away from Brad. But turn off that ringer, though.
I thought it went in the mail crate. Did it not?
On the ground.
Oh, damn it.
You missed. It bounced off the wall.
Yeah, it bounced off the wall.
The show is bouncing off the walls. That's what's happening right now.
All right. Hey, so the preseason schedule. There's a few, private friendlies, I guess you would say. They're going to be playing the Tampa Bay Rowdies at Sylvan. Everyone's excited about that, even though they're not going to be able to ever see it.
This only adds credibility to my thought that eventually OCB are probably going to end up playing there.
At Sylvan?
At the training complex?
Yeah.
Eventually they're going to... that OCB is eventually going to be playing at the new training complex, because if they... I mean, that's a closed-door friendly against the Rowdies?
Yeah, training scrimmage versus Tampa Bay Rowdies officially is what it's called.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, maybe that doesn't directly...
No, they're just they did this last year. They did this last year.
They do it. It's just a training scrimmage. They do it.
But I mean, the training facility all the time. But I mean, people showed up to what is it called? Omni last year.
Champions Gate is different though.
Champions Gate, yeah.
That was different.
But I mean, those aren't those technically closed door scrimmages? Like, they don't advertise them or anything.
No, it's just people that know. Yeah, there's like benches there. There's no real like. I mean, well, there are benches at Sylvan, to be fair.
Yeah,
but like, they have a gate that like keeps people out. At Champions Gate, you can literally just walk in and be like, "Oh, here's the football match. Oh, I'll just sit down here."
Yeah,
there's nothing stopping you.
No, and there's nothing stopping me from asking Kyle Aaron and Breck Shea if a hot dog was a sandwich last year either.
That was fantastic. All right, so
for the record, Breck Shea, no, Kyle Aaron, yes.
Yeah. I mean, Kyle's Canadian, so it makes sense.
What did Breck say? He was just like, it's a hot dog, right?
It's a hot dog. It's its own thing. That's what he said. He said it's not, it says neither. And so it's really neither yes or no. I mean, he did say no. So, yeah, whatever.
So Orlando's going to be playing Jacksonville University at noon on the Saturday the 4th, which is next Saturday.
Jacksonville Dolphins.
Indeed, the Dolphins. Then they play the Rowdies on the 11th at 11 o'clock. They play on the 15th against the Union at Joe DiMaggio Stadium in Clearwater.
I have a friend that goes to JU. He stuck me into their cafeteria once. They got some pretty good food there.
Colleges usually do have good food. Sunday the 19th, they're going to be playing at Champions Gate against Toronto again. And then the 25th is the official preseason friendly against St. Louis FC, which is closed door to anyone. So, sorry.
That's actually not true. They're going to
They're giving away tickets, aren't they? Yeah. They will,
to a select number of
people. I don't know if that really counts.
It is preceding the open house events earlier in the day. So, I mean, if you're clever enough to hide in a garbage can for 4 hours in between the end of that event and kickoff, you could be there to see the game. I'm not giving anybody ideas. I'm just saying it's a big stadium. I'm not going to check every crevice.
Sure. Now, let's just take this here while we're talking about the stadium. Apparently, there might be some delays.
But we don't know.
Like, if Brad wants to show up wearing the Solar Bears mascot, I don't think they're going to kick him out.
I mean, they probably would, because I don't think they would see why Shades would show up there, or why I would be Shades for that matter, but...
Synergy?
Why are you here for promotional? Like, like there's no promotional for a closed-door friendly.
Yeah.
So it's like, no, I'm just here to...
I'm here to get those six
you
people.
See, you just see, like, Shades and Kingston, like, sitting on the sideline together.
It's a perfect marketing opportunity to make content.
But it's going to be old Kingston, not new Kingston.
Yeah. New Kingston's like trapped in a broom closet somewhere.
No, he's been dragged back to the depths of hell.
Oh yeah,
has he?
We can only hope. All right, so the stadium delays. Apparently, a contractor tweeted out that there were no fire alarms, no life safety. They're still on temporary power with no permanent power in place, and telecom's only at 40%, and there's no elevators.
I mean, they've got over a month to do that, and it's not like a lot of that takes huge amounts of time. They have
installing all of the fire suppression and alarm systems could take like a few days at the most.
They've got hundreds of workers in the stadium right now doing
trying to rush
to.
But again, rushing could end up bad.
Well, here's the thing. I mean,
Russians are bad, but that's not the point.
I think it's a good thing that if they have a preseason match at the stadium to sort of give it like a soft opening, just to sort of see like how things are running, because you don't want your first game at the stadium to be your first match and then something goes absolutely wrong.
I think that's kind of where the kids versus pros thing comes into it. It's basically replacing the open practice this year, where everybody can show up and watch the kids play, and then there's also the open house where everyone can come in and I'm assuming just kind of do whatever they want to do for a few hours.
Right. Okay. Moving on. OCB here for a second. They signed youth men national team forward and academy product Joe Gallardo. Recently moved into the Orlando City Academy and then signed immediately almost with OCB. But he's promising one of the best like youth forwards in the pool. So... yeah, we'll see how he does. Probably the next Pierre de Silva. OCB announced their first home and away games. They're going to be hosting Louisville City on a Thursday and then going to the Tampa Bay Rowdies on the 25th of March, I believe. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. OCB playing on a Thursday. I'd love to see that game at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. Just like empty. But not really.
Does Orlando City play a home game that weekend?
Orlando City play a home game that weekend? Do they? That is a good question. I don't know. Somebody answer this for me. No. What weekend is this again? The 18th?
25th, I thought?
That's an away game.
No.
They don't have... No, there's like an international break. Mm-hmm. So they play on the 18th. They host Philadelphia Union. This is MLS, by the way. And then they don't play until April 1st in Columbus. So it's very easy that we could just all go to Tampa for that game. That'd be kind of cool.
Okay. So fourth official hits the road, Tampa? That sounds like a plan.
There's a hot dog place that I've been meaning to go to there.
I tried to go to this place in downtown St. Pete. They had a lot, like, it was the night of the NFC Championship game, so everything was packed, though.
Yeah.
It was kind of awful. I don't remember what it was called. I think it was called, like, The Avenue or something. The
Avenue. Never heard of that.
Apparently, they've got very good burgers. But it was too packed, so I left. And then I went to the Five Guys a couple blocks down.
This is downtown, right?
Yeah, downtown St. Pete, like, right near the stadium.
I'm going to Pincho Factory tonight.
What's up?
It's a burger place.
It's a lot of burger places.
Burger place here in Orlando. I've never been there before, but I've heard good things. They have they also have kebabs.
I went to Duffy's for the first time last week.
You went to a Duffy's for the first time? That's okay.
It was good. I mean, so, I got the hangover burger. It's very good.
So, a quick note, Orlando City actually plays their first game this year in Tampa on the 25th, and then they play Louisville at home on Thursday the 30th.
Yeah.
Okay. Well then. That's OCB news. Two other things. Sao Paulo turned down an Orlando City offer for midfielder Christian Cueva.
I think it's kind of bold for USL to put Orlando City in Tampa on the first day of the season. Because, I mean, once that stadium burns down from Orlando City supporters, where are they going to fly for the rest of the season?
I think they learned from a few years ago.
Stick them in the trot. Have a indoor baseball warehouse you could play in.
Yeah, I mean they're already playing in a dumpster. They might as well just move to the other dumpster down the road.
Yeah, but it's a waterfront dumpster.
That is a good dumpster right there. Yeah. It's actually a very
does
nice
anyone
stadium.
Like anyone else when they go to Tampa, do you like have like some weird urge to get like a tetanus shot after you go?
I definitely didn't feel the same for a couple days afterwards.
Yeah. Like almost to have like a lockjaw in a sense. Like, yeah, like some rust.
It was more, mine was more of like a rectal pain.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was weird.
Moving on. Christian Cueva. He's a young Peruvian national team player. Apparently, this is the kind of player that Orlando City's trying to go after for like one of their replacements for Kevin Molino, I guess. Which is,
as much as we've talked about or have talked about what they've got to do to bring back Kaká and replace him and getting younger, is this is the kind of signing that they need. Is when you look around the league and see what Atlanta's doing, what Seattle's doing, you got to go young and you've got to go talented young. And this is the kind of signing that would have been very impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it's, not over yet, but probably over now. All right. Last thing. Last weekend, we got to see the kit. What'd you think?
I like it.
I don't know how to feel about it. I think it was good, but...
I would buy one.
Would you?
Yeah.
I think I need to have it in my hands.
I would prefer they gave me another one. But
talking about it as of unreleased visual item, podcast is great.
For those of you at home, when I went to the hospital last week to harass dudes, we did get a sneak peek of the jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Just Austin, David, and myself. Some of you have been asking for hints. I can confirm, and Austin can back me up on this.
Mm-hmm.
It is purple, and it was made by Adidas. So go ahead and run with your wild mind.
It has stripes.
It does have three Adidas stripes. Very famously known.
Is it on the sides? Is that on the shirt?
Yeah,
is it on the shoulder?
Is up to you. Who is it? Straight down like the middle, like a hoop,
just three stripes right in the middle of the jersey circle. Oh god,
they don't even connect, they're just there.
That's disgusting. That's just a disgusting visual. Let's just stop.
I mean, it's Adidas, so can you really take that out of the question?
No,
exactly.
Moving on to the Orlando Pride,
whose jerseys we have not seen
yet. Right, Jose Belanger and Kalen Kyle are not with the Pride anymore.
That solves the international slot problem.
Belanger is basically like semi-retired now. She's just like, I'm going to play for the national team only. And Kalen had a green card issue, so she was basically an international, and they're like, yeah, we can't keep you. And like, Sermani told her like 2 months ago, like, if this happens, we can't keep you. And it happened, so they're like, we can't keep you. And then fans got super pissed off. They're like, why the hell would you get rid of Kalen Kyle? She was the backbone of the team. She cared more than anybody. And then, you know, people started saying, I'm going to cancel my season tickets. I'm never going to show up to a game. I'm unfollowing. And yeah, people overreacted like way too much.
If you are a season ticket holder for the Orlando Pride solely because of Kalen Kyle, I question your dedication to being a fan of this club.
They also,
are you really in it to be a Pride fan?
They also call for Tom Samani's head.
Jesus Christ.
Does Kalen now become the public face of the push to get an NWSL team in Atlanta?
Ooh.
Well, she does still have that green card issue, so she'd...
So maybe, she may not be able to stay in the country.
Maybe an NWSL club in Saskatoon?
Or maybe she goes to the Vancouver team in a couple years? 2018?
Where does she play until now? Until then, I mean, I suppose if a team has an international slot, that could work.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be... If the team has an international spot, yeah.
I mean... They are going
a few weeks. Yeah, like a few weeks ago, I had a weird feeling that she would probably end up with the Courage.
I had a feeling that she probably wasn't going to come back to the team. Yeah. So that was my whole thing. And then, just because, Tom basically said, you know, about honoring last week where you said honoring, you know, commitments that certain players had made to the team, and you know, moving forward now they're basically going to be looking at how players perform and everything like that. So I think it serves a, you know, kind of a statement that, okay, that first year was, you know, we got all the feelings out of the way, and now we're going to be working. Because
cut those feelings out.
As well hyped up as that team was, towards the end, it was a dumpster fire. Like, just basura all around.
Damn. Even went like Spanish with that.
Yeah. And I'm not Spanish.
I know.
I'm French.
What's the French word for trash?
It's the basura.
Oh. So, other Pride news. Lloyd Yaxley is the new goalkeeper coach, which means Marcos Machado is out of a job. I don't know where he is. Nobody does. I'm sure somebody does, but like, we don't know.
Very, very integral part of Orlando City's history, that man.
But also,
the guy who brought Flavio to the club. Without Marcos Machado, Orlando City's probably not
trash
MLS.
In French.
Coming back to that now.
Poubelle.
Okay.
Poubelle.
But again, yeah, Machado, like, you don't expect him to just be, like, cut out from the club, especially, like, all the people, like, conspiring that Flavio is, like, running the club and, like, tearing everything down. Like, you wouldn't think he'd get rid of his dude.
I think of more of it just Tom bringing somebody that he knows. I mean,
yeah,
it was probably a situation where, like, all right, Adrian wants to bring in a different goalkeeper coach, but we want to keep you here. Would you be interested in working at the Pride at least for a year or so?
Yeah, and he could go to OCB
and keep you within the organization.
That's an interesting thing. We should ask about if he's at OCB now.
Yeah, I feel like if
they fired their
release would have specified what was happening. They didn't say anything about what happened to Marcos Machado, though.
No. Maybe they're in disputes or something.
Maybe it's still a contract negotiation kind of thing.
Could be. Say.
Who knows?
Yeah. What a name, though. Lloyd Yaxley.
Every time he gets introduced, we have to play
Yakety Sax.
Yakety Yak, yeah.
Oh, man.
That is a direct quote or direct heads up to the PA, a system operator in the new stadium.
Right. So, yeah, I'm just looking at the release right now. Sermani said, I would also like to thank our inaugural goalkeeper coach, Marcos Machado, for his contribution to the Pride in season one. Marcos is a consummate professional and a very popular member of our team. We'd like to thank him for everything he has done for both the Pride and the Orlando City organization. So it sounds like he gone.
Well, yeah, usually when you hire a new coach, that means.
Well, I mean, like, out of the organization, like, not with OCB.
Yeah.
Yeah. They still don't have a goalkeeper coach, by the way. All right, moving on. Last thing Orlando Pride signed Kioma Ubogagu. How do you pronounce that? Ubogagu?
Sure. In the release, we'll go with that. It says how to pronounce it. It says in the release how to pronounce it.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh. So how do you pronounce it?
I don't have the release.
Yeah, I don't have the release in front of me. So.
Well, no. I mean, Gavin was saying like it sounded like.
I mean, if you have your emails up, then it should be right there.
Yeah, I'm looking for that email. I don't see it.
Speaking of emails, was I supposed to apply for credentials through the fourth official already?
I mean, you should. Definitely apply to that preseason game right now.
Okay.
And show up there.
So, Chioma.
And just give Michael a nice big bear hug when you walk up and see him.
So, there's no O at the beginning. It's just
like, he told Bogagu. Me flat out he doesn't listen to this show because he doesn't want to give you the credit of being a listener.
Yeah.
All right, so
that's going to be a huge feather in my cap, knowing that he listens to the show.
So it's just Bogagu.
Okay.
Not Ubogagu.
He is still trying to figure this out. That's what entertains me about this.
What, that I'm trying to figure it out?
Yeah, it's been like 2 minutes.
I just want to get it right, man. All right, so she's a forward, originally born in London, raised in Coppell, Texas, went to Stanford University, played with the Pride last year. She pretty good.
Play with the Dash.
I don't think
last
she
year.
Played with the Pride last year, but
she played with the Dash. I said Pride, didn't I?
Yep.
Yep. She's playing with the Pride now, played with the Dash last year.
None of us brought our RC game to the guys. It's been off from minute one.
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, I mean,
what you guys at home don't know is how much we've already cut out of the show.
You get what you pay for, folks.
It's actually a lot less than
on average.
No. We don't usually cut on average. We just like go.
Yeah. There's no editing to this show.
Yeah. It's true. Well, I mean, unless, you know, Brad,
I think
says something about a Pride player and
or two.
All right. Anything on Bogagu?
She'll be a good addition. I think these are all moves that sort of line up with maybe Alex Morgan doesn't come back.
Yep.
So you just kind of have to, you know, live with that potential there. I mean, she's a young player too, so she's got a lot of upside to her. I personally haven't really seen a lot of her because I didn't really watch a lot of the Dash last year, and I'm not too familiar with Stanford soccer as much as I probably should be because they're usually a pretty good team. But you know, she, you know, has the pedigree, and she should be a good addition.
Played with the Arsenal women's Arsenal women's team as well.
So. Yep, the Arsenal women's national team.
I didn't say national team.
Who have signed Heather O'Reilly, I believe.
Yep.
Yep.
How?
Huh?
How? H-A-O.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
O'Reilly.
Yep. Moving on, MLS and World Soccer News. So, preseason opened up last night between the Timbers and the New York Red Bulls. Red Bulls won 2-0, but that's not really the story that we're going to talk about here. So the Portland Timbers, they tweeted some alternative facts, hashtag alternative facts. So they lost 2-0, but they said, let's see if I can find it here. Both teams scored in the same goal, canceling each other out. Thus, the game ends in a 0-0 draw. Hashtag alternative facts. Next tweet. Impossible to determine the result today. Cameras made it appear that they scored more than we did. Hashtag alternative facts. I mean, it's a soccer team tweeting about alternative facts. Like, you know, what do you do? So, yeah, that was that.
We have our own alternative fact. Kyle was actually supposed to be on the show today.
And Brent Pekus is still alive and well.
Definitely not captured by ISIS.
In a hurricane.
In a hurricane.
Hurricane ISIS?
Yeah. ISIS came on a hurricane. This tells you how bad former President Barack Obama's Homeland Security was, that ISIS was able to ride in on a hurricane, steal one particular person, and then go out completely unnoticed.
Well, it's because he took everybody's guns.
Only from... Yeah, right. He didn't come out on the 20th and said, y'all think I forgot, did you? Just had that giant magnet that took everyone's guns.
All right. U.S. men's national team announced their latest 23-man roster. Some interesting names to go with that. Benny Fehlhoffer's back, which is cool. Who else? Brad Evans, Greg Garza, Chad Marshall from the Sounders, Sebastian Legette, Dax McCarty, Chris Pontius, Jorge Villafana.
What are you naming right now?
Guys who are on the U.S. men's national team 23-man squad.
Yeah, there is some pretty interesting cuts that Arenas made there.
I thought it was interesting the other day. Landon Donovan said this was the most talented group of players that the national team has ever had, which I thought was a funny direct shot at Jurgen Klinsmann for his ability to call in players.
Yeah. Oh, here's a fun one. DeMarcus Beasley. He doesn't have a club right now.
That man is still, he's the Angels, basically. What is he, 35?
36?
Yeah, 36.
He old. God.
And
Juan Agudelo's back with the U.S. men's national team. So, yeah, they play Serbia the January 29th and Jamaica February 3rd. And we will be picking one of those games later. MLS All-Star game was announced. Going to be in Chicago against Barcelona.
Unofficially.
Yeah, well, I mean, officially unofficial. But yes, it's unofficial, but it's going to be announced soon.
Major League Soccer is returning to the city of Chicago after a long awaited departure.
I don't think really anybody missed it.
I kind of want to go to there. I want to go to the All-Star game, man. You know, to see Barcelona in Soldier Field. I mean, there'll probably be... I don't like this just for the fact that there'll probably be a shit ton of empty seats.
No, they'll fill it because it's Barcelona.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's really the biggest...
See, that's the thing.
Driving behind it.
I can imagine the conversation going like this. They're like, okay,
they had to get Real Madrid or Barcelona.
Right, they're like, you know, we're going to have it in Chicago. Well, I mean, you got to have another team that's going to bring people in because no one's going to show up to that game. It's like, oh, how about Barcelona? It's like, yeah, I guess that could work. Especially if they're having it at Soldier Field.
I think this sets up nicely to have Orlando City hosted next year.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Has Gideon Salem made a first team appearance yet?
No.
I don't even think he played in the All-Star game when he was here, did he?
No. Yes, I think he did. All right, moving on.
I would almost try to sort of swoop in and do a Pulisic on him. Just cap him real quick and get him in.
I'd be very interested. I am very excited to see who is coming here for the International Champions Cup.
That's right, yeah. That's going to be in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be announced.
We're going to get... Same sort of garbage draws that we got for Copa America, but whatever.
What if we get Barcelona?
No, we're not.
Versus Shanghai Sipji.
And we're not going to get Messi or... We're not. We're going to miss out on both Messi and Neymar again because they won't travel.
Messi's going to get transferred to Manchester City like the day before.
Sure. Moving on. Minnesota's getting safe standing. 3,000 standing... seats, if you will, in their new stadium.
Yeah, we've known about that for a while.
Cool. I mean,
Orlando has it too.
I know.
I guess it's good. I'm not too far into supporter culture. So,
yeah.
I mean, safe is safe. Cool is cool. I'm all for it.
They're going to be standing anyway, so might as well just give them a room to stand in.
Yeah. I'll probably definitely attend a game and sit in the supporter section just to see what it's like.
You can't sit.
You can't sit in the supporter section.
No, I'm going to sit in the supporter section.
You're going to just sit
yes,
on
you
the
are.
Ground.
I'm going to be the Rosa Parks of Orlando City's of a soccer supporters.
I wouldn't.
No, let's redact that.
We're gonna go as far away from what Gavin said as we can.
Gavin didn't say anything, actually.
No, he did.
There are people who want to sit he in didn't. The supporter section.
Should I just turn it off?
Let him sit there in it. Let him marinate in it.
That are not allowed to because of peer pressure and other... What's the word I'm looking for?
I'm not helping you.
Nope. You're digging your grave. Just keep going.
Would you like a second shovel?
It's unjust. That's what it is. I'm going to sit plop in the center. I'm just going to sit there.
What a word to use. You're just going to plop in the center. Just
I was gonna like there. Before you said anything, I was gonna jump in and sort of help you, but no.
So Brad Guzan officially going to Atlanta now.
You're saying you won't support me in that?
Okay, nope. So Brad Guzan officially going to Atlanta now. They signed like 4 players in like a day, just like a few days ago.
That sounds like what they're doing every day. They just sign players.
Yeah, basically.
And they sign good players.
It seems like they should have run out of international slots by now.
You'd think they would have a full roster right now.
Yeah, and they would have run out of international slots. Like they literally, I feel like they literally have.
And they're
every
still
single,
looking at
Brad,
what is it?
Brad Guzan does not occupy an international.
No, center, but like so, every other player that yeah. they've signed is an international.
They're looking at another DP right now, another young stud. I don't remember who it is. Let me see.
Huh? Yeah, they signed a guy from Estudiantes. So they got a Paraguayan,
Josef Martinez.
Hmm. No, Almirón is from.
No,
Paraguay.
That's who they're now okay. looking at as well. So I think having Tata
Germany
is really that alone. You draw that name that players know and they want to play for.
Yeah, it's gonna make it all better when Mourinho comes here to Orlando.
They've got 9 internationals right now.
He's a Josef Martinez. He's a Torino player.
Technically, they have 10 internationals if you count Harrison Heath.
Yeah, but does Harrison Heath count as an international?
He doesn't. No, that's what I'm saying. He's just not from America.
So why would I count him as an international?
No, I'm just saying he's not from America. He's
lived here for more than a decade.
Right. You also have Romario Williams, former U.S. men's national, or U.S., not U.S., Orlando City U23, as well as the UCF player. He's out there.
That signing looked decent a while ago before they had a stacked roster now.
Yeah, basically. And then you got, you know, Kenwin Jones, Julian Gressel from Germany, Almirón, obviously from Paraguay. So, yeah. Oh, and, Yamil Assad. Oh, and, Leandro Gonzalez Pires, as well as Anton Walks from Tottenham. Okay. So that's now 12 internationals that I don't think have green cards. So I'm interested to see how they
to find a way to do it.
Oh, and they signed Tyrone Mears,
the right back.
Yeah,
right.
Who's English. I don't know if he has a green card, so it might be 13. Who knows? It's just a lot of internationals, that's all. Right. Don Ovan signed with Fox Sports, which basically said he's retired again. So he's going to be like an analyst or something.
Yep.
Until he suddenly comes out of retirement to go play for the U.S. men's national team when they need him.
He probably won't play for the U.S. men's national team. He'll probably
Bruce Arena will need him. He'll be like, Donovan, we need you. Come on. That's what happened with the Galaxy. Bruce just like, asked him, he's like,
yeah,
hey,
but I think that's a little different though. Getting a
I mean, you don't have to pay him money to play for the national team.
Sure.
Cool. Okay. Tampa Bay Rowdies purchased a billboard in Times Square that said hashtag MLS to St. Pete, because that's the target audience that you want. People in New York.
Well, you do.
I think they're just hoping Don Garber's strong.
Here's the thing.
Sure. I guess.
Let's think about this logically for a second here. The Tampa Bay Rays play in what MLB division? The AL East, right?
Right.
And you have New Yorkers about to come down to Florida for Yankee spring training, as well as those who already live here who are Yankee fans who go to St. Pete for Rays games when the Yankees come in town. So it's some targeted marketing there. It's kind of a niche, but I sort of understand it. It's the same reason why, Tropicana Field is called Tropicana Field, because, you know, New Yorkers buy a lot of Tropicana orange juice and they sort of associate that with Florida. And so you sort of, I get it. I mean, on the surface, it doesn't really make much sense, but once you start to dig deeper into the, this is sort of my specialty here in the sort of analytics and the targeted marketing of where you place advertisements, that it starts to make a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
It's just it's an interesting way to go about it, but, you know, I get it.
Pretty much. Right. Charlotte Independence, future in doubt. Apparently, their stadium plans did not go through, and there's no short-term or long-term plans for a stadium now, which means they may not have a future in
playing. I mean, they're being backed by, not the Independence, but the bid trying to bid for MLS is being backed by a NASCAR billionaire, and right. They're asking for millions and millions of public dollars. This is what I don't understand. Like, why? It just shows your level of commitment if you're not willing to put in the money when you have more than enough money.
No, I don't know.
Which, to another point, the San Diego Chargers, they paid what? Yeah, you have to pay over a $600 million expansion fee. Not expansion fee, a relocation fee.
Right.
That money that they could have used, plus the $300 million that the NFL was going to give them to build a stadium.
Yep.
And they said, let's go to Los Angeles. Because they're cheap assets. That's why I don't like sports
owners. Let's go.
If you're a sports owner, I don't like you.
Let's go share a stadium with somebody.
Except for Flavio. He put his money in.
Well, we sort of look at things here. The Courage are going to be playing in Cary, North Carolina at the Wake Med Soccer Park, which only has a capacity of 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't that about what USL's capacity requirements are for their league?
About 5,000.
So, I mean, you could, in theory, have the same facility that the Courage are going to be playing at.
I mean, there's already the North Carolina FC plays there, too, in NASL. And Cary's right. Also like an hour and a half north of Charlotte.
There's that, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have a stadium. They have, the downtown. It's a, I guess it used to be like a lacrosse stadium or something that they want to renovate.
Yeah.
Right. They've been playing him.
Moving on. Emerson Hyman scored his first goal for Rangers today.
On loan from Bournemouth.
Mm-hmm.
Who are still in the top half of the standings, by the way. So that's nice.
Yeah. Rangers won 2-0 over Motherwell FC. Or Motherwell FC.
Motherwell. We're going to have a pretty big Motherwell going up soon. All right, sounds like we're getting down to the very
last thing. Carlo Ancelotti says the lack of relegation is demotivating for MLS clubs.
Next point.
Yep. Thanks. Moving on.
He has some quotes in here. He actually has watched Vancouver before, and they weren't doing well, but hey, what changes if they finish last? They don't get relegated. They still get paid, but that's the structure of U.S. sports, and you have to respect it.
Yeah, because here's the thing. If you start, the problem with promotion and relegation in the U.S. is that the U.S. is so big on its own, and that each sort of market requires you to sort of pay attention to each one specifically. Like, the EPL works because you have, 10 teams in London, and you're not losing out on TV numbers if one team from London suddenly gets relegated. Now, prior to LAFC being there, if suddenly the Galaxy got relegated, now all of a sudden the MLS is missing out on LA's entire market if they were to suddenly get relegated. And then the league would just fold if that were probably to happen. If in one year you had both the Red Bulls and the LA Galaxy prior to NYCFC being there, if both of those teams somehow got relegated and they weren't there, what the hell? You're not getting any TV money from the two biggest markets in your country.
Yep.
Not only that, but there are not nearly enough teams stable enough in this country to handle that.
Yeah, exactly.
A league almost just went under.
Yeah.
A lot of teams have problems finding adequate stadiums. A lot of teams have poor ownership that can't play their players, and we want to give them, we want to put them in the first division now?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Like, if you're going to, it wouldn't make sense for, on that same hand, if one week, the if suddenly like the Rhinos had to host NYCFC, you're just not going to have adequate functions for that. You just don't have the infrastructure there to support all those fans who are going to want to see their team play.
Yeah, exactly. There's not nearly enough infrastructure, and there's not nearly enough stability within the soccer pyramid below Major League Soccer. I mean, even in USL, you look at it. Yeah, there's a lot of good teams go down there. But not everyone's perfect. There's still a lot of teams are having to take years off.
You can look at it across the board. Anything that isn't your top tier sports leagues in the U.S., they're struggling for money. I mean, you here in Orlando alone, you not only have Orlando City and the Magic, but you also have the Solar Bears, you have the Waves, and I don't think there's a baseball team here anymore, but those two, they're an ABA team.
The best ABA team in the nation.
The Arena Football League team just folded too.
Yeah. Well, the Predators. They didn't fold officially. They
had their operations suspended by the league.
There you go.
Which is about to fold. Don't they only have like four teams left now?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're trying to expand to Mexico.
But all the same, it's just, if you're not one of those, you know, if you're not the NBA, you're not the NFL, you're not Major League Baseball, you're not the NHL, you're not MLB or MLS, you're having some money issues.
Basically.
I mean, probably not issues, but you're just not as either profitable as you would like to be, or
you wouldn't be as financially stable as other clubs in Europe because they're set up for that kind of stuff already.
Right. You have that support there.
And they are the sports league. You go to England.
Yeah, they're like the NFL they are to the NFL. Yeah. So what we have here.
Okay, well, pro rel for NFL. Done. See how it works.
Tokyo Gas Creators going to be in the NFL next year.
NFL Europe or NFL Asia?
Don't they have like, what is it, the 50 teams battling
like
through like
50 like some odd teams in Japan.
In one league.
In Japan.
Oh.
Japan's not even that big, is it?
Yeah, I don't know where all these teams
are. What state would it compare to?
I don't know.
Anyways. That's all for MLS and World Soccer News. Who's got some weird news?
I got some weird news about a $100 fine for a man after a chicken nugget rampage boils over into McDonald's Nerf gun rampage.
That sounds fun.
A man was so angry he did not get his chicken nuggets. He jumped over the counter at McDonald's and fired two toy Nerf guns at a staff member before spraying foam bullets around the fast food outlet. A 22-year-old man was fined for disorderly conduct in Greymouth District Court yesterday. He was angry that he did not get his chicken nuggets. He jumped over the counter, shouted at everyone, then fired the toy guns he had with him before leaving. Quote, when he was spoken to by police later on, he said he thought it was funny and didn't think anyone would care. They are toys for which a children age just 4 to 6. They are clearly toys when the thing pops out and goes as far away from my learned friend as about a meter. It was a silly thing he did and spent 2 hours in custody at Greymouth Police Station for his troubles. All said, he did eventually get convicted for, I'm not sure exactly what the charge there. But the judge said, except that there was no malice intended, that it was a prank, and he was fined $100.
My question, why did he have a Nerf gun in the first place with him?
I don't know. Nerf guns are cool.
I mean, sure, but like, why do you just like carry them around?
I don't know. Like on some college campuses, they do like the people versus zombies, and they sort of have stuff like that going on. I don't know if he just had a Nerf gun just to have a Nerf gun, but I don't know. Keep something in the trunk in case something pops off, I guess. I don't know. My 9-ride shotgun, that's all I know.
All right, well, a St. Petersburg woman is being charged with aggravated battery on a law enforcement officer for using what was considered a deadly weapon. Does anyone want to guess what this deadly weapon was?
What was it?
Go ahead and guess.
I don't know.
It was a used tampon.
Ew.
That she took out of her pants and threw it at the officer.
Nice.
Which hit the officer on the shoulder and they consider that a deadly weapon.
Which,
I guess so.
It's a bloody weapon.
Well, it wasn't. He said it was a wet white paper object. So, I mean, it was just... It wasn't... Just
wet.
It was just, like, partially used, I guess.
Yep.
So, there's that.
That's gross.
That you guys now have heard.
Yeah, I wish I didn't. Cool. Four school children took cocaine thinking it was Sherbert.
Because I'm wild, yeah!
I'm all dragged up on Mountain Dew.
So, yeah, Broadstone Middle School in Dorset, where students aged between the ages of 9 and 13 took a drug on January 3rd. A 32-year-old man was later arrested on drug offenses. So I guess he sold the kids. Yeah, the children believe the substance was sweets, and it has now been established it was cocaine. So I guess a dude went up to kids and was like, hey guys, you want some sherbet? And gave them cocaine.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
You know what's my cocaine that I really like? Brownie batter donuts from Dunkin' Donuts.
Mm.
It's around that time of the year. They normally bring them back. Usually around February. I'm getting excited.
Have you ever had a Jeremiah's before?
What is it?
It's Italian ice. But
oh yeah, yeah, I've heard
that. They do they put like soft serve in between like layers of it.
Do that.
They have a cookie butter flavor, and holy shit,
cookie butter.
Yesterday I gave my final presentation for school, and the first thing I had to eat all day was some Italian ice, and I was like, cookie butter.
It was congratulations on that graduating from college.
Well, I haven't graduated yet. It's officially on Friday, but yeah, I had my last class on Friday. So
I also graduated officially recently from the Puppy Academy. So very excited about that as I headed into my world.
Yeah.
Ahead of me.
What about you, Austin? Have you done anything worthwhile ever?
Yes. Many
things.
Let's
leave it at that. Anyway, so we have some listener questions, actually.
Oh yeah, that's right.
We have listeners?
Yeah.
Oh,
and they have questions.
Oh,
they
apparently
have some questions for us.
I would have a lot of questions about what's going on with this show. On a weekly basis.
Why don't you ask it?
David Valentin at DV Orlando asks, is this a playoff-bound team?
No.
Yes. I think so.
They're currently tied for first with the rest of MLS, so sure. Chris Lodato at Chris Lodato asks, think we will have enough time to replace Molino? Do we have enough squad depth all around? Who will play next to Kyle?
I think there's definitely enough squad depth. It's going to be interesting to see if they decide to replace Molino because they don't have to immediately. But they now have a lot of money to do that.
They got Higuita.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, I mean, they have so much depth in that midfield that there's no shortage of options in what he can do to replace him.
And then in terms of who's playing next to Kyle, obviously it's Breck Shea.
Like I called.
Or Kaká.
I mean, I called him, and he shows up the first day of practice playing forward.
Yeah. That was weird, but I just attested that being like Kaká.
I'm telling you,
not,
man, if you watch
Kaká
his video
there
from Dallas, he's
that was
a
like,
lot. He's always playing high up the field. He's always central.
Right, yeah, that was 8 years ago and 3 injuries ago.
And he was also good that 8 years ago. Has he been good since?
No.
Not in England, no. Not here in Orlando, no.
So then what makes you think that he will be better?
If they
good?
Move him back to what he was doing when he was doing good? Because he's been playing left midfield.
And left back. Primarily. Yeah, sure. Okay. I mean, yeah. Why not?
Is that what I'm saying?
Why not?
He's a tall guy. He's got that instinct of scoring goals. You put him near the net, he's dangerous. He doesn't get near the net enough. But that's the problem.
And one final one. At Mainland Michael, y'all eat ass?
I mean, I've never known Michael to be a personal guy, so this question does catch me off guard. I'm going to say no.
Austin, you ever have a good rump roast?
Oh, my God. Oh, shit. Hey, let's go to predictions.
It can happen.
Actually, before we go to predictions, I have an Estrella update.
Ooh.
He's gotten in some hot water. Over the last three games, he has received three yellow cards.
So he's there, Christian Higuita?
Sure.
Okay.
Three yellow cards in three straight games. Still no goals for the former savior of Orlando City. And then Roches, obviously, well, you know, he's out of shape, apparently. So, all right, six games to pick. Here we go. Bayer Leverkusen versus Borussia Mönchengladbach. Gavin.
Bayern Leverkusen.
Brad.
I, too, am going to go with Bayer Leverkusen.
I think one of my favorite parts of the Florida Cup was the opening day. Bayer Leverkusen played in the first game at St. Pete Stadium.
Right.
And they introduce everybody, and the crowd is coming out, and Chicharito comes out, and several people at that moment started taking their pants off and just getting into it. It was amazing to see the reaction when that man steps out on the field.
Wow.
And to get to witness it live in person was something else.
It's pretty intense.
I've taken a picture of Chicharito before because I threw all journalistic credibility away, and I geeked out immediately when I saw him at Disney.
Oh, you've like got an actual picture of you with him.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you went to that thing there, didn't you?
Last year. The parade. Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be a professional, but can I get a selfie?
Yeah.
You got a picture with him?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And of him.
Yeah.
Huh.
There's a picture of me and Chicharito, and then...
I mean, all the other Brazilian journalists do it, so you might as well jump in on board.
I just saw it, and I was like,
Just put on an accent and be like, hey, can I take a picture with you?
And then me and Giuseppe Gentile just kind of ate snacks at the at the press conference. We just kind of like sat there and ate snacks.
That must have been cool.
Have you ever played him in FIFA?
No, because he has Xbox.
I'm like 0-3 against him.
I remember when you were running O-Towns and you were like live tweeting.
Yeah, it was not losing. It was not a good day for me.
Where is he now?
I think he's clubless. He was.
He's with Ottawa.
Yeah, he's with Ottawa because Fort Lauderdale traded him.
That's right.
You know what's crazy? He's 24 years old, and he's already played for, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 clubs.
I liked him in Orlando. He's a good player.
He's a player. Put it that way.
I can't go for him.
Yeah. Anyways.
We're making picks.
Right, the picks.
At some point.
Millwall versus Watford in the FA Cup.
Oh, man. That... I want to say Millwall just because I want to see someone get punched in the face, but Watford was also my EPL pick to win the league. So,
just a reminder, Millwall is now League Two.
Yeah.
And Watford obviously is in the Premier League.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta probably Watford.
Yeah. Gavin?
I'm going to go Watford.
Yeah, I'm going to go Watford as well.
We are Millwall. Mighty Millwall. We are Millwall from the den.
PSG versus Monaco.
PSG. You lose Ibra and you're still pretty good. So.
Yeah, but Monaco, I mean, they have Falcao now.
They've had Falcao.
How now, Falcao?
Not great, Bob. Not great.
Gavin.
What was the question?
PSG versus Monaco.
I like PSG.
Although, to be fair, Monaco's at the top.
I'm going to go Monaco.
I
researched.
Yeah, they're 3 points ahead of PSG, but...
Yeah, it's a good matchup. That's why I picked it.
Yeah.
U.S. men's national team versus Serbia.
I'm going to say draw. I'm going to say draw. I'm going to say 1-1 draw. And people are like, oh shit, we still kind of suck, don't we?
Yeah. I'm going to go United States. Did you guys see this story? The insane clown posse is planning a juggalo march on Washington.
They're trying to get win anymore.
They're trying to get a million juggalos to march in a million juggalo march. On Washington.
We don't have victories anymore.
I mean, the Juggalo people have never been.
We owe China.
more shame at this point that they have to march on Washington. That's how you know it's bad.
Spraying Fago all down the streets. You know what's the sad part is? Our vice president looks like a juggalo. Like, you couldn't tell if he had his face painted or not. He kind of looks like a skeleton.
You're not wrong.
Oh, God.
He looks like Dr. Skeleton.
It's going to be a lot to handle.
Hey, Brett.
Phrasing.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
All right. Let's see. Liverpool versus Chelsea.
Ooh. Liverpool just pantsed out in two tournaments this week.
I'm going Chelsea, so.
You gotta think, well, of course you were. You gotta think, like, Klopp is, like...
He's all clopped out?
He's clopping it up a little bit. I mean, Liverpool started the season with a full head of steam, and they had a pretty good win over Arsenal, and they've kind of clopped the bed. I mean... It's hasn't been fun to watch. Like, I was all ready for Liverpool to be good again. It's like every year, like, University of Miami fans say, like, the U is back, and then it's like, oh, you guys just played Florida State and now you clearly are not. But I think it's sort of in the same boat, really. I mean you could draw a line. You could draw a lot of parallels between the University of Miami and Liverpool. They're like, most relevance was in the 80s. Haven't really done a whole lot since. I just want to see Diego Costa.
Liverpool or Chelsea?
I just want to see Diego Costa get punched in the mouth. I've seen Nazis get punched in the head a lot this weekend.
I will give you the 3 points this weekend for the win and that credit if he gets punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
Regardless of the result, you will get credit for a win if Diego Costa gets punched in the mouth.
I mean,
this
he probably won't, but all the same, I've seen a lot of, like, awful people get punched in the head and face this week, so I kind
of
want to
see. I'll give you all of the points for my victories this week.
All right. I mean, I'm
if
still
Diego
gonna go,
Costa gets punched
I'm
in the
say,
mouth.
I'm going to say Liverpool, but Diego Costa gets punched in the mouth. So,
all right. So keep that in mind. If that happens, he's getting all of my points this weekend.
If Diego Costa gets punched in the mouth, he gets your point.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm
so
willing to take that bet.
Who are you picking, though?
I said Liverpool.
Okay.
Because I'm an idiot. No one should ever listen to anything I say ever.
Gavin?
I gotta go Chelsea. I mean, there's...
Although I did do pretty good last week.
Nah, you went 1.
What?
You went 2-2.
What did I do last week?
1-3. Oh, damn. See? Kyle, 4-0.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I know, right?
Don't tell him that.
Well, I mean, he
while
never,
he was
never
playing,
listen, so.
He was playing Overwatch while he was making the picks.
I know.
He wasn't even paying attention.
He didn't even know what games we were picking.
He just said Everton draw in Napoli, Egypt, and that's exactly how it went.
Yeah. I said Everton and Egypt.
Yeah.
I got Everton right.
I mean, no one expected Napoli to beat AC Milan, except a few people.
Except Kyle, apparently. Yeah.
And no, and you know, a draw between Man City and Tottenham.
Although, to be fair, Man City was going to win until Tottenham went and
did a thing.
A late one.
Yeah, they did a thing.
Till Man City.
So yeah. You're going with Chelsea? Cool. Last game. This is for you, Gavin. Stoke versus Everton.
Everton, man.
Obviously. Who's going to go? What do you think?
Everton.
Brad.
Everton, but because Stoke aren't playing Jeff Cameron and preparing him for his move to Orlando City.
I like that they're taking it lightly for him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we want him healthy when he gets here.
Mm-hmm. They want to get that Tamgam money to pay Coutinho for 1 week.
And
or
I'm
going
to go Everton as well.
Crouch.
Peter Crouch?
Peter Crouch for a week.
That's fun. Cool, we're done. Hey, good job, guys. It's a long-ass episode, an hour and a half.
I'm going to need to run over to one of the two Publixes not long behind us, and I might have to grab a chicken tender sub.
Oh.
$5.99 this week, guys.
Dude, I had a buffalo chicken tender sub last night for dinner.
Can't lose with that either.
so amazing.
What do you put on?
I don't. I just get, lettuce and tomato, a little bit of honey mustard.
You don't even put like any cheese or anything on there?
Provolone.
Provolone?
Yeah, and a little bit of honey mustard.
You toast it?
Provolone and honey mustard. That's an interesting...
It's good. I like it.
I just put chicken and cheese on there. Some mayonnaise.
I usually go lettuce, tomato, American cheese, some mustard, salt and pepper.
If you ask, they'll put macaroni on it for you.
What?
Yeah. One of the hacks with it is if you ask, you can take one of the chicken tenders and just put it on the side. You just put three on there and you have a chicken tender left over. More room for the macaroni.
Alright. Well, that's our opinions on public subs. We'll be back next week or week after next. Are you going to be here?
Next week? Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't leave till February. Late February.
Yeah. Late February. Okay. Cool. We might have Kyle Foley back next week, too.
I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah, we'll see.
We might have Brent Pacus at some point.
Yeah, we'll see.
We will have Brent Pacus next week, period.
Listen, if Trump has anything to say about it, we'll defeat ISIS and we'll get Brent back.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's it. Thanks, everybody. See ya. Bye-bye.
He's the one who likes all our pretty songs and likes to sing along and likes to shoot his gun. You don't know what it means.